Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Here we are on God's Holy Sabbath. Okay, let me just push that down. Okay, I'll just push everything down there. There you go. Okay. Let me put up the study so everyone is... Put myself on the mic.
That would be good.
Oh, yeah, the mic. There it is. Got to be on the mic. And I got to find the study. There it is. Help. I can't even push the button. There it is. There it is. Let's blow the trumpet. Shabbat Shalom. Oh, that actually came out very good. Well, we are one Messiah congregation, Kahal Chabah Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, and Shabbat Shalom. And let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this study today. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, I pray you wash us in your holy blood of any sin, any spot, any blemish, anything, Father, that would separate us from a holy living God. I pray you'll give us all zeal and enthusiasm, and give us this intestinal fortitude like the prophets had to keep going forward. Bless and anoint, Lord and God, this day, this Shabbat. I thank God that we could rest in you today and enjoy the peace and shalom you give us and the help you help us, I know, in everything you do, Father. Bless this study. I pray that you'll encourage us because it's such a wonderful thing to know. Just a breath away, there's the kingdom of heaven forever. And I thank God for the blood of Yeshua today. Thank God for every one of you. And may God be with you in everything you do, in every decision you make, in your discernment, and in every action and thought you have. May God help you, and may God direct you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Amen. Well, here we are in Hole-in-Wall, Tennessee. And you guys all know where we're at, but for the people that don't, there's the address, there's the phone number, there's the website. Today is August 13th, 2016. We are going forward in life. Praise the Lord. And yes, the IP has changed. Is it not working? Okay. Let's see. August is interesting because it's Augustus Caesar, which really, you know, most people never heard of. But Yeshua has his own calendar. We're in the ninth day of the fifth month of God, which has no name. Judaism calls this one Av, but we can't find that in Scripture. That's made up. Judaism says this is when the ninth of Av is when both temples were destroyed, but there's no proof of that. That's just made up also. There's no scriptures to verify that either, because number one, there's no Av, and there's no scriptures about the ninth month, because there's two websites right there will show you nothing happened on the ninth of the fifth month. So I don't understand why they get everything wrong, but my ministry is a teaching ministry. I like to bring up things that maybe you're not familiar with. Maybe you never heard of Judaism said both temples were destroyed in the ninth, in a ninth day of the fifth month, called Av, but that's all wrong. But anyway, I like to undelete some of these things for you. Let's see. For your convenience, all the studies are here. You could read them, you could listen to them, you could watch them, you could download them. We're on PowTalk right now, streaming, I hope. We should be, because the IP is put in. Are we? Are we streaming? Carrie?
Yes.
Okay, good. I haven't received any schedules yet to participate in anyone's groups. Most people that come here, I'm still trying to figure out, they can't even believe there's a heaven or a hell. To me, that's kindergarten. I knew that when I was a little kid, but we read from the Law and the Prophets every week. The Tanakh, there's the acronym. That's the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. Last week I did a study on, unfortunately, you know, to me it's like talking about, is there a Satan? Some people don't believe there's Satan. That's ridiculous. Some people don't believe there's a hell. Some people don't believe there's a lake of fire forever. I had to do a whole study on that last week, which, you know, isn't my most happiest study to do. Far from it. This study this week, I hope some people don't believe there's a heaven we're going to be in. I mean, think about that. But we'll go through some scriptures here and let's find out if that's true or false, okay? Because we like to do everything like we're in a court, you know? Bring up witnesses and something's either true or false. Here are some words that you might find relaxing, I hope. Eternal excellency, eternal life. Eternal excellency. I did that twice. I don't know why I did that. Everlasting arms, everlasting power, everlasting weight of glory, eternal power and Godhead, eternal weight of glory, excuse me, eternal purpose, eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, eternal spirit, eternal redemption, eternal inheritance, everlasting habitations, eternal glory by Messiah Yeshua. I put these down only because these are all from verses. I didn't just make these up. Life everlasting, everlasting kingdom, everlasting God, everlasting consolation, honor and power, everlasting, everlasting covenant. Notice how last week was the opposite. Everlasting fire, everlasting punishment. You know, I didn't put any of those in here this week. This is everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. Everlasting arms, everlasting gospel. Everlasting possession. Everlasting priesthood. Everlasting statute. Everlasting doors. And the King of Glory shall come in. Everlasting to everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. The mercy of Jehovah is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. Jehovah is everlasting strength. Thy righteousness is everlasting righteousness, everlasting joy, everlasting kindness, everlasting sign, everlasting name, everlasting light. You know, the only reason I'm doing this is because some people don't believe in everlasting. Thy name is from everlasting, everlasting king. Everlasting love. Thy testimony is everlasting, everlasting foundation, the everlasting father. Who set thy sanctuary in the midst of them forever. Everlasting dominion, his kingdom is from generation to generation. Everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. Then there's evermore, forever. Then there's forever. Then there's ever and ever. I laugh because there's so many verses that prove there's there's an everlasting life. Yeshua said, I am alive forevermore. Some people don't believe we go to heaven. Well, Revelation simply says, and I'm trying to figure out how to misinterpret this. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Let's see, how could we misinterpret Revelation 19:1? There's much people in heaven. See, is there a way am I reading that wrong with the wrong connotation, I don't know. Or should we just believe what it says? I think Yeshua had it right. He said, you do err not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read which was spoken by God saying, I am the God of Abraham. And the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He's not the God of the dead, but unto the living, for all live unto him. So anyone who thinks that when you die, even though your body is going to go to the dust and be resurrected at the last day, your spirit still goes back to God, who's the real you, because this is just a tabernacle that's housing who, you know, our spirit, you know. And once you have a Bible search and you put all these verses together, you get a different understanding, a different feeling of what the scriptures are saying. Actually, I found the word heaven in the Tanakh 441 times.
Wow.
And I found the word heaven in the Gospels and letters 298 times. And altogether, if you add all those numbers together, it all comes down to the number one, which to me is one God. But anyway, right, but I'm just saying the word heaven, whatever heaven it is, it shows up that many times. Here we have Elijah. He would be taken up by a whirlwind into heaven, right? And right here it says, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked, this is Elijah and Elisha, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. It doesn't say he flew to the other side of the land or the other terrain, or he's not just flying around in outer space. Anyway, Yeshua says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He is the kingdom of heaven. Look what it says right here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's see. Why would Yeshua say that if that's not true? Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's see, why would Yeshua say that if that wasn't true? He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. How would you get your reward if you weren't going to go there, if your reward's in heaven? For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least by them in the kingdom of heaven. And the same thing, if you whosoever shall do and teach them. Huh? Yeah. And that's when Yeshua was on, he's right there. And shall, he says, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in or by them in the kingdom of heaven. So, I don't understand why people don't understand this. People in heaven. Look, it says right here, except you're, Yeshua says, he tells the people then, and it's us too, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So, there is an entering into the kingdom of heaven, if you do what he says, right? That's what that says to me. I mean, I can't misinterpret that. It says, look at this, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. How about this one? It says, a lot of people are going to say, Lord, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But who's going to enter the kingdom of heaven? But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So it says right there, you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, here's another verse. I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Where? In the kingdom of heaven. So, and now Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they died when? A long time ago. And their bodies are sleeping in the dust. But where's their spirit? And they're also known as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How about that? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. People don't get that. Look what it says right here. Now John the Baptist, he was the greatest prophet that was born of women on this earth among men. But he that's least, and at that point, he that was least in the kingdom of heaven was greater than him because he was still on the earth. So there's people, in other words, he's being compared to other people in heaven at that time. I mean, I so you guys, to this, this might sound like, yeah, like we all know this, but this people that don't even see all these verses, because they, I don't know if they don't have a Bible search program or they just don't know the verses. It says, therefore, every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven, why would you be instructed of that if there's no such thing? And you can read the rest of the verse. I'm just going to give you little pieces of verses. Look what it says right here. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Huh? At that same time came the disciples unto Yeshua and saying, why would they want to know this? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?
Right.
Why would those guys, the sons of Zebedee, want to know that? Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, I mean, it's so many verses. I mean, it's just like endless verses about this. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Right? Even the eunuchs, which were born, not, let's see, for there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Why would you do that if there's no kingdom of heaven? It says, he that's able to receive it, let him receive it. I mean, Yeshua said, suffer little children to come unto me. Why? For as such is the kingdom of heaven. He said, if you'll be perfect, go sell all that you have, he told this rich guy, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Obviously, if your treasure is there, you have to go there to retrieve it, right? Come and follow me. Why would Yeshua says, how hardly shall rich men enter into the kingdom of heaven if there's no such place? Is it a metaphor? Are these all made up stories? Here's the sons. Then came him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him, desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what would you like? Miss Zebedee. He said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left, in thy kingdom. Why would she want that to happen if there's no such thing? Why would she? Because it's just common knowledge that there's a kingdom of heaven. I mean, seriously. But nowadays, it's not common knowledge, and it's no longer. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. In other words, you stop people from going there, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are entering to go in. So there is an entering in, but some people try to stop you from going there, maybe by telling you there is no heaven, you're wasting your time. Forget about keeping the commandments. That would be shutting up the kingdom of heaven to you, because I would be cutting you off from truth and reality, and you would never enter the kingdom of heaven. Yeshua, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing you lack, this rich guy. He knew this, like this one thing the guy was loving more than God. He said, go sell everything you have, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven. Take up your cross and follow me. Of course, he couldn't. I definitely want to go to heaven, because so many places it says your reward is great in the kingdom of heaven. Right?
Yes.
If you get persecuted, you're not supposed to be all bummed out. You're supposed to leap in joy, for great is your reward in heaven. That's what they did to the prophets. They persecuted them. I mean, look at this. How would you misinterpret Luke 12:32? Tell me how you misinterpret that. Yeshua says, he calls us little flock. For it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Praise the Lord. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he departed from them and was carried up into heaven. We know all that. Look at this. Even the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Anyway, even Paul talks about the resurrection there. He says that the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven, or like the Lord from heaven, eternal. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Right? Now this I say, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So, you know, it's nice to cater to your flesh down here and put your cream on and perfume it and whatever you want to exercise it and whatever you want to do to it. But it's not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. But he says simply, no, I'm going to show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, we're not all going to be dead, but there's going to be a lot of people that are going before us that are going to be dead. Their bodies are going to be in the dirt, the dust. But their spirit already went back to God. But that doesn't matter, because they're still going to be all changed, no matter where you are. And it's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at that last trump. For the trumpet's going to sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, this is talking about our bodies, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In other words, our bodies are going to take on an incorruptible body. And the spirit's going to go back in it, us, and I don't know how that's going to work, like Apostle Paul, it's a mystery, but we're going to be like incorruptible bodies. I mean, that's just unbelievable. I mean, that's just hard to understand, you know? Oh, death, where is your sting? And oh, grave, where is your victory? In other words, death has no more power over us. We're going to conquer, like Yeshua, death and hell. And the grave, we're going to rise up, you know. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law, the Torah. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Right. Paul tells the Colossians, the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Whereof you heard before in that word of truth of the gospel. So it is the truth that there's a kingdom of heaven, you know? Paul tells the Thessalonians, the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Whoever's at that time. And it's going to be like whoever's dead, and it says, and whoever's alive, they're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He's not in Jerusalem. He's not in the secret chambers. He's not in Jerusalem. He's not in the temple. He's going to be in the clouds to be caught up together with the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So that's a comfort. Comfort one another with these words. I mean, I wouldn't mind floating right now on a cloud. Floating up. Paul tells Timothy, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his everlasting kingdom. Heavenly kingdom, excuse me. So that's why I hope you feel the same way. May God preserve us unto his everlasting kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul tells the Hebrews, Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, that's where you're being called. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Messiah Yeshua. For you had compassion on me in my bonds, Paul said, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing that in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. He says, but now we desire a country that is a heavenly country, right? Whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. So I was getting this feeling of heaven and the city, New Jerusalem. It's all of one thing, which I don't know how to explain it to you when I was studying this morning. New Jerusalem, heaven, and everything. It's just one big spiritual place that we can't understand fully until we get there. God's not going to be ashamed. He's not going to be ashamed to be called our God. He had prepared for us a city. He says, but we are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We're not going into no physical Jerusalem down here. And to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and a church of the firstborn, which are where? Written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Their spirits went back to God. I mean, it's clear to me. Peter says, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, because you're going to get an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away. It's reserved in heaven for you. So you have a reservation of a reward and a blessing. Revelation says, to them that overcome will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So I don't know what that really means. Is God going to write his new name or New Jerusalem on us? I don't know what that's what it sounds like. That's what it says. And no, look at what it says right here. This shows you there's people in heaven. There was no man in heaven. There's people in heaven, but they couldn't do this, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book and to look thereon. But of course the Lamb was able, but there was no person in heaven. And this is at the time of Yeshua. So there's people in heaven at that time. Does everybody see that? For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle dies, is dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven, in the heavens. So I'm not too worried about this flesh. This flesh is withering away. But we're going to have a new, whole new thing, whole new existence. It says, For ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father had appointed unto me. I mean, I don't know. This is all. See what happens when you have a Bible search program? There's so many verses that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. So we're going to eat and drink there and sit down on, this is the 12 apostles too. They're going to sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with, I read that, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Peter says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. Everlasting kingdom. You know, even Daniel says, how great are his signs and how mighty are his works, his wonders, and his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven. This is Nebuchadnezzar, even he knew it. And my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honor him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. In the book of Daniel, it also says, there was given unto him dominion and glory in the kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him, I guess in this kingdom. His kingdom is an everlasting dominion and shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall, that which shall not be destroyed. You know, I got this understanding this morning when I read all these verses about everlasting this and eternal that. It's talking about the future. God's, it's going to be forever. It says, the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of his kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. So, you know, we don't understand this heaven and New Jerusalem and immortal and immortality. We don't know what that means, really. But it's going to happen, just like the flood happened. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah happened. They didn't believe it either. Right. I mean, let's put it this way. Enoch, when he was translated, where did he go? Enoch, is he did he fly to, I don't know, where did he fly, to Mexico? No, he's with the Lord in heaven, where Elijah went. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. God took him, because he had a testimony that he displeased God. That was his whole PhD. He displeased God. Isn't that great? It makes me laugh because you don't have to go through any, tremendous studying at cemeteries. what about the person that was dying on the, when Yeshua was dying on the tree there, the cross? He said, today you'll be with me at paradise. What do you think paradise is? Look what it says right here. Yeshua said, today you'll be with me in paradise, heaven. Because I know that's true, because that's where New Jerusalem is, in heaven. New Jerusalem is in heaven. And I also see that if you have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life. Where's that? It's in the midst of the paradise of God. That's not on this planet. John says, John, boy, he must have had a just amazing time there. Being, you know, it probably wasn't pleasant being banished to an island called Patmos. I always picture him being like, you know, down on his knees, like, who knows, just banished. But God encouraged him. He said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Because the first heaven and the first earth, what did is passed away. We don't need this stuff down here. And there's no more sea, which I probably means there's no more oceans. You never notice, it never uses the word ocean in the Bible. John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. I just think that the whole thing is going to be, even though it's coming out of heaven, I think it's going to be like sort of one big spiritual thing that we can't imagine. Look at this. Prepared as a bride. This is New Jerusalem coming down a It's coming down as a bride adorned for a husband. New Jerusalem is. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And John was carried away in the spirit into a great and high mountain, and he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a great, had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gate thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lies foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed. 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. Now, we don't know how big the angel was, so don't think it's a man, okay? It could be tremendously gigantic, and who knows what God means by those measurements. And the breadth of the wall, it says, the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. Wow. Try to imagine that. City was pure gold like unto clear glass. Try to picture that. Foundation of the wall of the city was garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophysis, the 11th adjacent, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. There's those pearly gates. I like that. Every several gate was of one pearl, whatever that means. Can you understand what that means? Sounds like a big pearly gate. And the street of the city was pure gold. So God does like good, nice things. As it were, transparent glass. Probably not gold like we're thinking. I don't know what, and transparent glass. There was no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, and the city had no need of the sun, no more moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Who's going to be there? The nations that are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. Remember, God doesn't need the sun or moon to have day or night. For there's going to be no night. God's going to eliminate night. Wow. Oh. And they shall bring, it says, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter it anything that defiles. Neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie. But just think. And I hope we're all written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because those are the people that are going to be there. In closing, what more can I say? I'll see you in heaven with the rest of God's people. If you believe in that. If you don't believe in it, I guess you won't be there. This is not a long study today, but I mean, I don't know what else to say about this kingdom of heaven, and you're going to be there. And New Jerusalem, to me, it's, you might think it's two different places, but after you read them all, you read them a bunch of times, you start thinking, even though it sounds like New Jerusalem's coming out of heaven, but where's it coming out into? A new earth, which is heavenly, and it's going to, the whole thing is so spiritual, we can't really grasp. It's going to be unbelievable. That's all I could tell you. It's going to be something we can't imagine. No eye has seen it. No ear has heard, or no, you know, you can't even imagine what God has prepared for those that love Him and keep His commandments. Just think of that. It's just a breath away. It's just like right there. Doesn't that make you feel better? Ah. Anyway, Shabbat Shalom. I hope this is not a long study today, but it's just the opposite of the study I gave last week. This one, I hope, puts more of a smile on your face than last week. Last week, I seen some people frowning. They looked like they were weary after that study last week because, you know, everlasting punishment. You know, it was a little ominous, a little, you know, everlasting fire, everlasting punishment, this is better, everlasting happiness, everlasting joy. Anyway, Shabbat Shalom, and God bless you. May God be with you, and I'll see you in heaven one day, Lord willing. And I want to be there, and hope so do you. And I don't know how it's going to work, but may we all meet again there one day in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. I'm going to stop that. I'm going to stop the study. And may God bless every one of you. I don't know what my computer's doing. Let's see what's going on here. What's over here? Refresh. There you go. I'm going to stop the video. Shabbat Shalom. I'm going to stop the audio. Stop the audio. Where's the audio at? God bless everyone out there in cyberspace.